Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and you've just tuned in to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. This is episode 17-36, and I hope you guys had a blessed week and a really blessed Thanksgiving. I hope you guys were able to tune in and listen to the show yesterday on KTW, the American Christian Network affiliates. That is also uploaded to our Podbean site at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. No, Podbean. RadioFreeRedoubt.podbean.com. That's where all of our audio files are uploaded all the way back 6.5 years to June 5th of 2011. You don't have to listen to those. Though you can just skip forward a year or so and start there, but they're all there. And that's where you'll find this show, where most of you probably already found this show. I had a couple minor setbacks with the live streaming, as I was hoping. I was so excited to get that going 3 weeks ago, and we ran into some obstacles. So I think we actually identified the solution. And I'm excited about that. I'm keeping fingers crossed. So we want to get back to our regularly scheduled programming, and including old-time radio shows, as well as podcasts, The Wall Builders and Chris Ann Hall and those. But if there is an old-time radio show that some of you guys have really asked for, you've liked, you know, the I was a communist for the FBI, underground secret infiltration of the communist network, or any of the spy or espionage and stories from the OSS, any of those that really, since I could really miss those, let me know. And we'll go through and re-air those on Sunday afternoons, as well as some of the other stuff, and our regular show, 8 p.m. Pacific. Now, before I get into the current events, I want to remind you of our Amazon affiliate banner, which is at the top of RadioFreeRedoubt.com. It says Amazon's got a little picture of a wreath. Off to the side, there's on Amron.com, there's a banner on the side, very prominent. And anytime you're going to go do your shopping on Amazon, just go to Radio Free Redoubt or Amron first, then click on that affiliate link, and then all your purchases help support Radio Free Redoubt, so they don't have to pocket it and increase, you know, more profits for them. Not that I'm against profits for capitalists, but they do have it budgeted in to kick some out as a thank you for their affiliates. And we are an affiliate, and that helps us more than you know. So please remember to do that. And take the link and forward it to all of your friends. Tell them. When they do their shopping, also, all of that really helps. It all adds up. Last week, this was a real treat. I hadn't had a speaking engagement in 4 months, maybe 3.5 months. But I had two speaking engagements in the Boise area of southern Idaho, and had a little road trip early in the week. I made it back by Wednesday night, but it was just a great trip, and I always love meeting listeners and Amron operators and putting faces to names or faces to code names. And what a treat. I want to thank you guys for being such great hosts, wonderful, amazing patriots in that area. They're very active. It's one room. Everybody was going around raising their hands that they're licensed radio operators. That's almost unheard of. All but, I think, two. Husband and wife couple that are studying to get theirs. Everybody in this room at this speaking event, every one of them are licensed ham radio operators and engaged in their local nets. And some of them are involved in militias. Some of them are in Oath Keepers. Some of them are just straight up dedicated, organic Amron operators. Many of them are involved in Ares, Races, Civil Air Patrol, communications support. They're just so cross-pollinated. It was just a very, very cool thing. And they care about their community. They're patriots. And it was just a blessing. So that was good. But that's why I didn't have a show last week. I was expecting to get it out, but everything just kind of avalanched on top of me. And I had to hit the road. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to pull this off and meet my deadlines. So that's what happened last week. Sorry about that. Thank you guys for your understanding. You did have the Saturday show to go back and listen to. So let's get down to the news and commentary brought to you by the book series, 299 Days. All 10 books out, including the audio. And that's, of course, author Glenn Tate, a great friend and a supporter of Radio Free Redoubt. So right off the bat, international news. I see this. Israel vows to destroy Iranian positions within 40 kilometers of the Syrian border. So Iranian military positions inside Syria. There's something in the Bible about something's going to happen with Damascus. Can we see world events? I'm kind of being tongue-in-cheek here. You guys know what I'm talking about. All of this stuff is, it's pretty amazing to watch. Now, this is from the Jerusalem Post. A Kuwaiti newspaper, Al Jarida, revealed on Sunday that an Israeli source disclosed a promise from Jerusalem to destroy all Iranian facilities within about 25 miles of Israel's Golan Heights. Good for them. So Assad's surprise visit to Russia last week, during his visit, this is when the source revealed this, Putin... Apparently, he gave Putin a message for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying Damascus will agree to a demilitarized zone of up to 40 kilometers from the border in the Golan Heights as part of a comprehensive agreement between the two countries, but only if Israel does not work to remove Assad's regime from power. Very interesting stuff that's happening, the push and pull that's happening. This is something really interesting to watch. And, I've had a couple of listeners say, you gotta be careful, not doom and gloom, talking about world events. Well, hold on a minute. You gotta have the proper perspective. You gotta understand my perspective. I have a unique perspective. I don't get into doom and gloom. Now, is it a fact that there's evil in the world? Yes. Is it a fact that people are shooting up churches and we need to defend ourselves? Yes. We need to face the facts of the world that we live in. And we cannot pretend that it doesn't happen. There's plenty of warm and fuzzy feel-good stuff that never goes near anything that's dangerous or scary or confusing or full of lies or whatever. There's plenty out there to make you feel real good about yourself. Now, there's also plenty out there that's doom and gloom and the end is coming next week. And, we made a mistake. It's next week. Here's a new date. Jesus is coming and nuclear war is going to break out come on. That's doom and gloom. But when you look at world events through a biblical lens, let me tell you something. We know who wins in the end. We know our King is coming. This is exciting to me. Exciting times. So when we point out wars and rumors of wars, we were told to be watching for those kinds of things. And I'm going to point things out when I see them. And it's not doom and gloom, because even if America collapses, that's sad. Matter of fact, it's tragic, because it's our own undoing that is so unnecessary. And the solution for reversing things is right in front of us, but we ignore it. So I'm sad to see my country reject everything that could be credited for its greatness. I want my countrymen to wake up, and they don't want to. So if that happens, in studying history in the course of events and nations rising and falling, we know that there's a very strong possibility that if we strengthen the demographics in regions, then when things do collapse, assuming that we're following the same trajectory of every other great empire, and then at some point it comes to an end, and we are showing those same signs and symptoms. So let's do something positive instead of lamenting about it. And we do lament. We're sad because our country's making bad decisions and suicidal policies. But if we are proactive, we can plan for something great to rise out of that, if we're allowed that in this season, if we have that much time before other stuff biblical unfolds, right? If that's 100 years out, then we've got time to rebuild another nation. And I think that's very exciting. And the demographics are extremely strong in the American Redoubt and other conservative pockets. We know from history, I've told a lot of regular listeners, you get this, you've heard this before. When republics or empires fall, several smaller self-ruling nation states will rise up out of that based on the majority of the demographics in each region, and they become their own self-ruling states. Or a major superpower comes in military and occupies it, and then you're slaves. Those are the two different outcomes when an empire collapses. So let's plan for the one. And instead of doom and gloom, this is a message of hope. It is a silver lining in this gray cloud that you can't deny is there. So let's be proactive. Let's be strategic about it. It's bold. It's huge. It's bigger than most people can fathom. Because a lot of people are not super strategic thinkers, big picture type people. And those of you who get it, thank you guys for getting it. And just do your part. Do your part. So, I got way off track on news and commentary. The Archbishop of Canterbury was baffled by Christians who back Trump. Well, why am I not surprised? Now, you want to talk about a place that's suicidal? Europe, including England. And here's the great potentate in England, the Archbishop of... what is he? The Reverend of Reverends? The Super Reverend? What'd they call him? This was funny. I'd never seen this title before. I meant to highlight it because I wanted to come back to it. But anyway, England's top religious authority, the Archbishop of Canterbury, said Sunday he didn't understand why so many Christians in the United States support President Donald Trump. Oh, there it is. This is capitalized. The Most Reverend Justin Welby. What is that for a title? Most Reverend Justin Welby. In an interview, he said, on this program, he really genuinely can't comprehend why fundamentalists, that's us, that means you believe in the foundational beliefs of your belief system. I'm down to the fundamental level, right? For us, it's biblical. Have provided such a strong base for Trump. There's two things going on in my mind. Oh, let's get inside of this guy's mind. This is interesting. One of the assistants to the suicide of Europe. Do I say what I think or do what should I say? And I'm going to say what I think. So he says, I don't understand it. I really genuinely do not understand where that is coming from, support for Trump. So there he went and said it. He said that he spent years involved in conflict stuff around the world where he's met people who had killed many, many people. So he's not concerned about meeting Trump if he ever gets the opportunity, because he says he's met worse people than the president. But he says if he does get to meet the president, he wants to testify with the love of Christ to seek and draw Trump in a different way. Now, this is interesting. Is if he does get a chance to meet him, he'll probably just do nothing more than shake his hand. But if he does get a chance to meet these people, really evil people, some people have killed others, but Trump, he's not worried about meeting Trump because he's met way worse. But if he gets to, He's going to meet him. He's going to testify with the love of Christ to him and seek to draw him in a different way. What does that mean? What do you want to draw him away from? Let me go back and find this again. The most reverend? Come on, most reverend. What is it that you're going to try to steer him away from, a different way? Because right now he's talking about sealing the borders because he recognizes an open border as a security threat and an economic threat. He also realizes that it is a violation of the rule of law, which Congress has passed the laws for immigration. His job is simply to execute those laws. That's why they call it the executive branch. He doesn't make the laws. He's not making these laws up. Congress, at the time, mostly Democrat, passed these laws for immigration. His job is to enforce it. He's glad that someone was armed to stop the shooter. President Trump said he is just thanks God that somebody was there armed to be able to stop that shooter at that Texas church a few weeks ago. What else does he stand for? America first. He'll work with other nations, but not at the expense of America's interests. He recognizes the Islamic invasion for what it is, and he wants to curb the volume of Muslims coming into America until we can properly vet them to find out who they are. Now, you want to steer him in a different way from all of that? You can't figure out why Christians are supporting Trump? This is just wild how these people think. And just this week, all these supporters of these young immigrant DACA, as they call it, deferred action for childhood arrivals, basically trying to keep people here who are here illegally and not to deport people who have kids here because they came here, because you'll tear apart families, even though what they did was illegal. Just like if we have bank robbers, how can you send a bank robber to jail? The guy's got kids. You're going to tear apart a family. When you break the law, there are consequences. And when you have a family, well, you should have considered them before you decided to break the law. We can't not enforce the law because you made a decision to break the law just because you have kids. So anyway, they're really pushing for this. And what's interesting is the continuing labeling of President Trump as a racist because of his border policies. But I want you to take a listen to something from a previous president, exactly what he had to say that the leftists and the communists just gushed over. And this guy could say nothing wrong. And they loved his policies. So Trump can say the exact same things and they want to go ballistic, pulling their eyes out. Listen to this.
Not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Hypocrites. Absolute, utter hypocrites. It's disgusting. That was their president. That was their man. That was former President Bill Clinton in his 1995 State of the Union address. All of his talking points were the exact same talking points of President Trump. But President Trump is evil, mean, hateful racist. These people are so duplicitous. It's just sickening. One last story here from Redoubt News. They got a lot of really great stories. I strongly recommend you go over there and get up to speed. But this one kind of popped out. I had forgotten about this. Discount Christmas sales are illegal in Idaho. This is from a statute from 1939 during the Depression. It's called the Unfair Sales Act. And the statute says the practice of selling certain items of merchandise below cost in order to attract patronage is a deceptive form of advertising and an unfair method of competition. Such practice misleads the consumer, works back against the farmer, obstructs commerce, and diverts business from dealers who maintain a fair price policy. So essentially, Black Friday and Cyber Monday is illegal for you folks in Idaho. You can't lower your prices to attract patrons because it's unfair. Yeah, they have these loss leaders. They'll sell something for less than what they paid for it, and you walk in, and of course you're going to buy other stuff. So those are called loss leaders, and of course Black Friday is just clearing out the inventory, some of the stuff being sold at cost. And that's what pulls these businesses out of the hole. It's deceptive, though. Sneaky. Just can't do it. Well, it's not enforced, but it is on the books. Thought it was kind of interesting. They won't repeal it, but they don't enforce it either. So, all right. We come back. Some one-time pad announcement. It's Christmas time, kids. So pay attention. I'll tell you all about it when we come back in segment two, coming right up. Stay right there.
Number three on our list of obligations is to understand socialism and all the cunning disguises in which it presents itself to the American people. Our fourth obligation is to understand propaganda techniques as used by both the communist and the socialist. This is a very vitally important need. Thousands of good, loyal Americans have been duped into actually aiding the communist simply because they did not look carefully before they joined some high-sounding venture or before they more or less blindly advocated some course of action.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular, born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republic.
Radio. Free. Readout.
Segment two at Radio Free Redoubt, the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you guys for your support. Thank you for being here. And also thank you for helping to support Liberty State, what was formerly known as Eastern Washington. There is a movement that is growing very rapidly, much like the state of Jefferson, our brothers there in Northern California and Southern Oregon, forming a state. The race is on for who's going to be the 51st state. There's a lot of momentum in both. People are sick and tired of being ruled by leftists and communists in areas that are predominantly conservative, right-wing, believe in traditional American values and our heritage, and they're just tired of it. And this is building momentum. Liberty State, go to libertystate.org and help donate. They need some help with the website. Apparently, those are not cheap to do. But for the work that they're doing on that website, they need a little bit of help. Go and click on the tab that says shop and donate at libertystate.org. Libertystate.org. This segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, patriot-owned business, helping other patriots get strategically relocated into the heart of the American redoubt, into the free zones to join the other patriots that have already come to the free zones and that are digging in and getting deeply entrenched to stand and preserve the things that we value, our heritage and our conservative values, what America used to be. And Selkirk Mountain Real Estate's helping people do that if you're looking at the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho. Now, young partisans, listen up. Little Orphan Annie is going to be striking again. We're going to be giving away a brand spanking new Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells time, and it is just a classic. This will be the third year in a row, and they had sold out of them. We get these directly from, we've got a former law enforcement officer who is pulling some strings to get his hands on one of these rare collector items from the Daisy Museum for a Red Ryder air rifle. And they stopped producing them. However, what they've done is they've started up a new run of a 35-year anniversary edition. And as of October, they had only cranked out 1,000 of them, but they were already spoken for by the friends of the museum and probably employees and people like that, that, you know, they help support the museum. So they're first in line. Well, we were able to finagle one. And we've got a 35-year anniversary edition, Christmas story edition of the Red Ryder BB gun. So we're really excited about that. So a one-time pad exercise, training exercise will be coming up. That's how you will enter into the contest. Now, if you kind of want to sneak ahead a little bit to kind of figure out what that's all about, you can actually just go to radiofreeredoubt.com and you can type in the search box one-time pad or one-time pad Christmas BB gun. Any of those search words will pull up previous postings that gave instructions on how to participate. And we will have a first, second, and third prize. Of course, first prize will be the Red Ryder Collector's Edition, 35-year anniversary edition, Christmas story BB gun. For 18 years old or under 18 years old, if you are up to, but not including 18 years old, 17 and under, let's put it that way. Don't complicate it, man. Okay, so kids, we are going to have the full instructions on how you can participate here in just a few weeks to have a chance to win your own BB gun and other gear that we'll be giving away. So the top three prizes. This is always so much fun. We'll also be doing the Tracking Santa, and also we'll be talking about how you can talk to Santa on HF on the ham radio or Mrs. Claus. That's always a lot of fun. We'll be talking about all of that next week and laying the ground rules for how you can participate. That will be coming out next week in next week's show. Now, if you want to get a jump on it, then this is what you need to do. The code name Polly01 is posting tonight, Sunday night, the one-time pad article posting that was on Amron.com. So you can go to either website now. It doesn't matter. But go there and type in one-time pads in the search box, and you will see a posting, an article that will pop up that says one-time pads, unbreakable encryption, and old school tool. This is a lot of fun, and we do this with Radio Free Readout. For years we have, and Partisan Radio. And we practice with one-time pads. They still work. It is unbreakable encryption when used properly. and a lot of fun. So if you go to that website, it'll tell you to, and we'll put a link in tonight's highlights and resources posting, but you can also type in Partisan Radio Volume 11 over at amron.com, and that will take you to that Partisan Radio that will walk you through how to use one-time pads, which is another thing on my to-do list, is to make an instructional video on this. But when you go to this article, right, Radio Free Redoubt or amron.com, doesn't matter now, you just type in one-time pad and this posting will pop up. There will be links that will give you a complete guide on using one-time pads, and with something very helpful that I put together is called One-Time Pad, a Simplified Exercise by JJS. And that will walk you through step-by-step encrypting and decrypting a message so you understand how the one-time pads work. Now, we haven't done this in a while, but we are reviving this exercise with the one-time pads. We're going to begin using them a lot more frequently. And we do in Amron Core, but for the general wide audience, we haven't done that a whole lot in a while. If you, one of the other links you'll find in this article, when you type in one-time pad and you find this article, you will also find a link to the Tree Series one-time pads. Those are for training exercises, and you'll see several blocks with numbers in them, and there'll be a name of a tree, like pine tree, palm tree, and so when we put out a secret message, you might hear something like, the pine tree fell to the north. Okay, well, then you know to use the pine tree in the Tree Series of one-time pads. You know to go and find the one titled pine tree, and that's what you use to decrypt the message that might go out over the air, or it might be posted on the website or some other place. Well, how do you decrypt this encrypted message? Well, you have to have the one-time pad that is designated for decrypting that message. And so for training and practice and just for academic purposes and just fun, we created a whole series of practice training one-time pads. And we just labeled each one of those by the name of a tree, so you'll know which pad to use. It's a lot of fun, and we will be using this for the one-time pad exercise for giving away a brand new 35-year anniversary edition Christmas story rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells time, which is actually a sundial. But great time, great fun. Yeah, they got their, let's see here. It is the Christmas Dream Edition. The American wood stock's engraved on the right side with the Red Ryder signature logo. The left side of the stock is laser engraved, 35th year anniversary, A Christmas Dream from 1983 to 2018 with an engraved sundial and as a compass with a bezel inset. The left side of the wood forearm is engraved A Christmas Dream with the number, the serial number of it, of 2,500. They only made a run of 2,500 of them. So they're going to be labeled 0001 through 2,500. Very exciting. Very good. So that's where we are right now. Go to the one-time pad, and you can actually, there is a one-time pad Christmas practice exercise that we put up last year. And if you go to the website and type in one-time pad Christmas practice in the search box, it'll bring up this article where you actually see a one-time pad and the conversion table for that. And then you'll have an encrypted message above those little cheat sheets there. You'll see an encrypted message. A series of numbers, five-digit numbers, or five-digit groups. And if you look below, you'll see all the information that you need to decrypt it. But you got to learn how to use one-time pads first. So in the highlights and resources posting, we will put a link to that article. We will also, it just simply, you can bypass that and just go to the search box and type in one-time pad, hit enter, and you'll find the article that talks about how to use one-time pads, an old school tool. And you got some homework to do, got some practice to do. So get practicing, kids. and you're going to have a chance to win some gear just in time for Christmas. I'm not sure if we'll be able to have it to you by Christmas, but we're going to do our level best. Sound fair? All right. Yeah, that one-time pad, a simplified exercise by JJS. It's a PDF you can print out and practice to your heart's content. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a great friend and fellow patriot and a special guest coming on board with us to talk about a continuation of this discussion about training, tactical training, combatives, and how it could apply to our church security teams. Some much needed training available right here in the American Redoubt. So stay right there. We'll be back in just a moment.
I believe the strength of a nation lies at its core, the family. With the busy day-to-day lives we sometimes find ourselves in, set aside time for the family, a time that's sacred and is never compromised, a dedicated portion of the day to just focus on one another. Ronald Reagan said, "All great change in America begins at the dinner table." I fully agree, and that means no texting, surfing the internet, watching TV, or eating alone in a bedroom or the living room. That time belongs exclusively to your family, so guard it. You might be amazed at the difference such a simple routine can make in your family. Who knows? Maybe something greater than yourself could come out of it. I'm Violette Sabo with Points to Ponder, Words to Live By, and Ideals Which Define Us.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
All right, you are tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt. This is segment 3 at the Voice of the American Redoubt. And I mentioned that we got a special guest coming up, but first I want to thank our sponsor, Strategic Landscape Design, for helping to sponsor this segment. They are helping plan your property with the forethought to integrate the primary needs of water access, food supply, energy production, and security features. Just some of the services that they offer. So check them out, strategiclandscapedesign.com. Okay, now this next guest that I wanted to introduce to you guys, I've known him for several years, really squared away, level-headed guy, and I'm just excited about, well, I'm excited about the work that he does and the business that he has. And I think that it's timely because in the last couple of episodes, we've been talking about, you know, violence in places of worship or just in general. And so we need to create an increased situational awareness as we're out and about. And I know that there are a lot of folks that are in the listening audience that serve on their individual church security teams. I don't care if you're in Texas and you're not allowed to call it security, whatever it is, you know your security, okay? So we need additional tools. And I was excited about this because it's right here, you know, in the American Redoubt, and there's a lot of churches in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, North Idaho area, Eastern Washington, North Idaho, which is where I do a lot of work with folks. And so right here in the area, this is pretty exciting. So I want to introduce the founder and the owner of Principal Defense at principaldefense.com. Thomas Craffey, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, you've got a really diverse background. You and I have talked quite a bit about, you know, some of the stuff that we've done in the past and the type of work, and I can't think of a better suited person for this type of training. Overall, I'll let you get into it. We'll talk exactly about what this is about. The name of it is Principal Defense, but principal as in IPLE, not PAL, principal. Based on principles, and you're a Christian, you're a patriot, and you're a warrior. So I really like the way that you explain this, principaldefense.com. So Thomas, let's start talking about, I guess first, a little bit about your background. Let the listeners know where you're coming from.
I started in the Marine Corps. I went in the Marine Corps directly out of high school and did 4 years there, serving Desert Shield and Storm. However, when I got out, you know, the training at that time was pretty weak. The budgets were low. And so I wanted to do more. So when I got out, I pursued a bunch of civilian training opportunities, shooting schools, martial arts, different things like that. And when the new wars kicked off, got involved in that. I was actually working as a bodyguard in Hollywood and as well as some of the surrounding areas there. And eventually got hired with one of the companies, went overseas, spent 7 years as a contractor over there, both doing the security as well as actually training it for the last 2 years. So I did 5 years of actually doing the PSD, high threat PSD, and then 2 years training that. And, you know, a number of different types of security things, also as well as the static as well as mobile. So. Anyway, so that's where I got a lot of background there, but I've been a student of these things since I was a child, and I've always tried to refine and figure out the best ways to do everything, and fortunately, it's given the opportunity to get a lot of experience and testing those theories as well.
Okay, and we're talking about all things defensive. From whether you have a weapon in your hand or not, all the way up to having deadly force tools and how to properly employ those. And you understand gunfights and how to win in those gunfights.
Exactly. We take a very integrated solution. One of the things we focus on, and you kind of are hitting on it right here, is that a gunfight, first and foremost, principally, right, is a fight. And that's how we approach everything, is from that perspective.
And we're not talking about looking for a fight. We're talking about when you've exhausted all measures to get away from that.
Absolutely.
When there is no other alternative.
But the irony of it is, as we all know, the more prepared for something that you are, the less likely you're going to ever have to do it.
Right? Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So we treat, you know, we start, of course, with all the situational awareness, how to recognize threats, how to avoid threats, obviously proper mindset, all of those things. You know, that's core to what we do. And then, as you're mentioning, you know, for those rare opportunities, there's just no way to avoid it, and you have to deal with it. You know, then of course some very effective responses that don't require, you know, years of training, but, you know, we're very focused on things that have been proven to work.
Yeah, left of bang type stuff.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I want to talk about some of your basic courses that you have and what you're offering. And I know that there's some folks that are really looking for some tools. And I'm excited about working with you to bring in the Sheepdog Seminars into the area, and I think that's going to be an extremely valuable tool. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about that, some of the stuff that we're trying to work on. Let's take your courses. Stand-up combatives versus ground combatives. These are just non-lethal force, or I guess non-weapon-based training. Why do you think this is something so important that people need to know, stand-up and ground combatives? And what are ground and stand-up combatives? Define it.
So what you have typically is you've got, you know, karate schools or schools that focus on the unarmed, and then you have schools that focus on shooting. What you really don't have much of is schools that look at this as an integrated package where, once again, you know, gunfights are first and foremost a fight. what people fail to think about oftentimes is that it's not there's a lot of delusions that have been created by our entertainment culture. And one of them is you don't always have a lot of distance to draw your weapon, as an example. You know, if you get attacked in a confined space, you need to be able to deal with that. And that's fist to cuffs. I mean, it's unarmed until you have that gun out and are able to employ it.
Right.
So we focus on that. We actually have we've built rooms in our facility that are very small to give somebody the opportunity to actually employ their skills in realistic environments. And once again, like small confines, because it's a whole different ballgame when you can't even get your weapon out.
or it's not time to take it out yet.
Exactly.
You're trying to escort somebody out of your church, and all of a sudden he starts, you know, shoving your hand away until you say, I don't have to leave. Now you're armed. It's not time to pull your weapon out yet, but you have to go and lay hands on somebody. There's a lot of, there's a wide open space there between, asking somebody to leave and escorting them out and the time where you have to pull, you know, a deadly force out. So.
Absolutely. And the problem is that most people in my experience that focus on a gun for self-defense don't even give consideration to that point. It's a very valuable point you make, and one we emphasize a lot, is you have to have a variety of responses that are appropriate to the circumstances. And a lot of people just don't think about that. I mean, I'm sure you've encountered it as well, but I can't tell you how many people when I've talked to about this, like, oh, hey, you know, I carry a gun. I don't need to worry about self-defense. Like, as though that's all you need to think about when there's so much more to it. I mean, those of us who have been in actual, you know, engagements, actual gunfights, know that it's very different. And one of the main goals of this business really is to give people an opportunity to be exposed to things that maybe they haven't thought about, you know, and as far as kind of the baseline here, and of course then to build skills upon that knowledge to help people learn what they don't know first and foremost, and then of course help them develop appropriate responses. So, but to your question about the unarmed versus unarmed, like I said, it's all integrated for us. You need to have those responses. I think the only other point I would make is that if you go hands-on with somebody, I mean, any level of force, you need to do so in a way that isn't going to expose you, you know, to bigger problems. I mean, if you don't know how to go effectively hands-on with somebody now because you are carrying a gun, that potentially goes lethal where you didn't intend it to. So there's a saying in law enforcement, you know, that every call has at least one person with a gun because, of course, you're armed. And
right.
If that guy takes your weapon from you, or gal, takes that weapon from you, obviously now that just turned that situation potentially lethal.
Yeah. Now, how do you also integrate, I guess not negotiation, but de-escalation tools and things like that as well into your training?
Oh, absolutely. For sure. We focus on giving, you know, a full spectrum of responses, but we also, I mean, there's different levels of classes, obviously. So at the higher levels, you're going to get more of that because generally speaking, it's harder not to hurt somebody. Okay. So
right.
The more committed somebody is to the training, the more of those responses we can give them. But at every level, we're certainly going to give them something, some way to be able to resolve things at whatever level is appropriate. And honestly, you know, just from experience, I mean, unless you're dealing with somebody who's really committed, the majority of situations can be resolved without any level of force if you know how to respond to them. But
yeah,
as we all know, there is that certain percentage that doesn't really matter what you're doing. It's just, you're going to have to deal with it. And so, so we have all those levels in there for sure. And what we focus on is going to be something that anybody can employ. They're not so oversimplified that they're obvious. That's, I think, one of the problems that you see with some of the other reality-based systems or schools that claim to be that is they set up scenarios where the person's just going to stand there and let you beat on them. Well, that's not real life, right? That's not actually reality.
Right.
So, you know, we keep it realistic. The responses that we teach are, you know, they're simple to employ, but they're not just completely obvious either. I mean, they're effective because there's a certain level of deception there in the way that they're employed. So the person that you're employing them against isn't going to necessarily know that that's what you're planning to do. So
we
try to strike a pretty good balance.
In a way that you're not projecting your intentions.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. that's one of the main flaws I'd say I'd have with some of the schools that try to, the few that are out there that try to do what we're doing is the, you know, like groin strike. I mean, come on, everybody knows, and most guys are pretty well programmed to protect that. So
right.
Is an effective strike if you land it? Sure. But, you know, it's not going to probably be effective because the person isn't going to give you that opportunity to employ it.
Right, right. Good point. So you do go hands-on in your training. I mean, you're throwing down with using these tactics.
We do. We're the only school. I mean, there's not many places in the nation where you can do this, period, but there's certainly nothing around here that has this, where we literally have full contact gear so that you can train. I mean, there's the adage, you know, you train as you're going to fight as you train. So we employ that across the board. Everything we do is full contact. Obviously, we don't want people getting hurt, but we also don't want to have happen is people practice pulling punches, which is what happens in pretty much all karate schools.
Yeah.
MMA, of course, is better, but even with some of that, I mean, there's limitations there. So when it comes time to that, I mean, there's certain things that drills or whatever we'll run, but when it comes time to run the scenarios and to do the actual sparring, the actual fighting, there's a sufficient amount of gear. It's expensive. It costs us a lot to get it. But, to my mind, there's just really no other way that you can train this stuff realistically, because if you're not, you know, if you're pulling punches, you're training the wrong habits, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, this is good stuff. Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and take a break. We are here with, Thomas Craffey from Principal Defense. And, I'm looking at their website right now. They can design a tailored program based on your needs or operational parameters. And, in addition to offering regular weekly training, for their members, they also focus on providing seminars for organizations and the public. So if you're a church, school, a company looking for a positive, unique, and highly valuable training experience, they can custom design to your needs. And I know there's a lot of church security out there that are really taking a very close look at this. So we'll learn more about Principal Defense when we come back. And we're going to make the transition from hands-on grappling combatives on the ground and standing up into some of our deadly force training and some of the considerations for that right here at Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go away. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come! I repeat it, sir. Let it come! It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
We're back here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the fourth and final segment. And we're just wrapping things up here. We're going to start talking about lethal force with Thomas Crafty, our guest tonight from Principal Defense. I want to thank our sponsor, Works Holsters, for helping to sponsor and support Radio Free Redoubt. Don't forget to go to the Amazon link first and click on through from Amron.com or RadioFreeRedoubt.com before you go on to Amazon and do your shopping. And that helps support Radio Free Redoubt. We're really grateful for that. But or you can go directly to Works Holsters. If you're looking for a holster, it's Works as W-E-R-K-Z as in Zulu. .com for inside the waistband, outside the waistband, American Redoubt made holsters with a lifetime guarantee. Okay, so a few weeks ago, we were all shocked with one of the most horrific mass shootings, especially in a place of worship, in a sleepy little town, 27 dead if you count the unborn child, 20 injured. And it took an armed citizen responding with a combat rifle to take that guy out of the game. And so sometimes we can be just hurled into this situation with no warning, and that's usually how it happens. We need to be able to respond. But this is really waking a lot of people up to saying we need to have some type of security in our church. Now, what we have is a lot of people saying, well, I got a CCW, so, you know, I'm on church security because I have a gun. But there are so many variables that come into play, like we just talked about in the last segment, having a non-lethal situation where you have to maybe take a combative person out of the church. It's not gunplay time. And you need to know how to do that. You need to have those skills to be able to deal with that. But then what happens when things do go to lethal force? And the type of training that you're going to have for liability reasons and for survivability reasons. So Tom Crafty from Principal Defense, thank you so much for staying with us.
All right.
This is good stuff. Okay, we were talking, you know, a little bit about, during the break. And we want to get into this the armed combatives. How do you define armed combatives? First, people think gun, handgun. It's the first thing that flashes into your mind. But what all does this entail in your training?
Well, for one thing, I'd like to go into why I call it combatives rather than other things, because combatives historically have meant sort of integration. We view it in the same way. Combatives go back, the term goes back really to like World War II and the OSS. We're not necessarily doing the same tactics that they use, the same skills. There's some that crosses over, we're drawing off the best sources, across the board. But the term is good because it takes this whole idea, utilizes this idea that it's a flow between different responses based on what the circumstances are and how the circumstances change. Not just, it can escalate up to an armed situation, but it can also de-escalate down to an unarmed situation. So the armed part of it, though, to that question is when it's gotten to the point where now you're facing lethal force and you need to respond in kind, and we're building on all the other responses that we've already built. And it's a smooth transition into that. And it isn't necessarily just firearms. I mean, that's the primary emphasis because that's, of course, the main weapon that most people have available to them these days. It's the primary weapon. But, you may not, for whatever reason. You may lose it. You might be in one of those situations where you just don't have it with you for whatever reason. And so, we develop the ability to employ your environment as well as everything that's in your environment to your advantage. So armed combat incorporates all that, any kind of impact weapon, any kind of edge weapon. And in addition to the weapon itself and the employment, the skills, it also deals with the tactics, how to move, and how to employ it in kind of a dynamic environment as opposed to a static one. We focus really on dynamic environments or dynamic employment of the weapon systems.
Okay. And what does that mean in layman's terms? Employ dynamics into the weapon system.
So one of the things that we try to resolve what I think is a major flaw in the majority of training out there. I mean, there's no nice way of putting it. Most training with a firearm is mostly static. Obviously, it's gotten quite a bit better, you know, in the last decade or so with the wars. But there's still an emphasis on static targets most of the time, maybe a little bit of movement, and accuracy being largely the main thing that matters. Now, I'm certainly not saying accuracy doesn't matter. Of course, it matters tremendously.
Right.
However, the problem is that in a real gunfight, those aren't the circumstances you're going to employ your skills. So you might be really good at being able to hit a target that's static when you're on good ground. You know, everything is ideal.
It's not shooting back at you.
So, right, in a real gunfight, here's what's really going on. So, right, exactly. That target's shooting back at you. That target is moving. You're moving because you don't want to get shot. There's things in the way. The ground is bad. You have people that you don't, you have other people around you potentially that you don't want to shoot. Once again, it's dynamic. There's a number of moving parts. And the actual pulling of the trigger is a very small part of that equation.
Yes.
There's much more to it. And we focus on the everything else. I mean, once again, accuracy matters, and we also emphasize that, or, you know, the significance of it, the importance. But it's a small part of the total picture. And we kind of supply that everything else. There's good karate schools. There's good shooting schools. We focus on, once again, integrating the aspects of both of those, but providing, you know, the everything else, giving people the opportunity to employ those skills and learn how to employ them correctly within the environment that they're actually going to have to employ them, going to actually have to use those skills.
Right. Okay. So since we're trying to move away from static training environments where you and the target are not moving and you're shooting at a piece of paper that's not shooting back, how do you overcome that? How are you overcoming that in your training?
So for one thing is we use simunitions guns. So we have, these are real guns. For those who don't know in the audience what these are, they're actual handguns. And we can also do rifles as well, that shoot non-lethal marking ammunition. So it's not like paintball where that can be somewhat unrealistic, the volume of fire, and they don't, you know, have sights and the rest of it. It's an actual gun,
right,
with sights you employ like your regular gun, but it shoots non-lethal training ammunition, and it hurts. You know, there's you don't want to get shot with this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's painful. not enough to, you know, do, you know, significant damage. I mean, it's not going to maim you or something, but it gets your attention. It's the kind of thing that's not enjoyable, and that's intentional.
Yeah.
It's meant to be that way. It's meant so that you take it serious, that, all right, look, you get to walk away from this alive. Had this been a real situation, now you would have been shot and maybe died. So we want to impress the seriousness of what we're doing. I mean, it's enjoyable. It can be a lot of fun, but we always try to, you know, emphasize and always come back to the fact that, you know, this is, you're training for something that's very serious, and
yeah.
You can't make light of it.
There's nothing like instant consequences in a force on force training environment to really drive
exactly
home those learning points. That's
exactly.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's just really refreshing to hear that you're incorporating that, including arm defense. I'm assuming arming and disarming, or weapon retention and disarming skills as well. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Very good.
And how to utilize all the other dynamics. You know, how to properly utilize cover and concealment. How to maneuver. So we get in a lot of principles with CQB. We have, like I say, we have a small structure that we've built there. So we have, you know, center fed rooms and corner fed rooms and, you know, T intersections. So we have basically every kind of problem, as we refer to them in the CQB world. We have every kind of problem that someone can experience and maneuver through effectively. So, you know, you have that tactical edge, the maneuvering edge, and maneuvers, it's a huge piece of what we do. And it's, I think that's one of the advantages that somebody that goes through a program is going to have over people that just do, you know, typical shooting schools.
No, this is I'm really glad you brought that up too. That's super critical. And I'm thinking of our church security teams that we have, you know, across the country right now, because do you talk about a dynamic environment in the shootings that I've studied? You've got, most of the time, you've just got pure chaos, where you got a security person running down a hallway or a corridor with people running around the corner toward them screaming, he's right there, he's right around the corner. And then you look around the corner and he's not there. And so now you're hunting for somebody who's hunting people in your church. And while you've got frightened people running around, you've got people that are carrying concealed that you may not have been aware of. And so there's all of these things that have to be woven into the training scenarios for these teams that you're working with. And are you considering all of those type of, those dynamics in the training?
We do. And one of the things that we also emphasize to a large degree, far more than I would say most schools that even profess to do this, is stress management. The scenario you've laid out is a really important point here, I think, is that it's not just a matter of being able to, like, know the right thing to do. I mean, that's a big part of alleviating stress, but also being able to understand your physiology and how to regulate that so that you can make good decisions under stress. We tackle that question pretty significantly because, look, you can have the greatest skill set in the world, but if you're unable to employ it, right, because you're not in the right mental condition,
right,
you're not only useless, you're potentially a liability. So we focus a lot on helping people be able to keep a clear head in what they're doing. And stress inoculation is one of the terms for that. I mean, that's kind of the high end of it. But even before it gets to that point, we give people, some techniques as well as some understandings that will help them to be able to make good decisions regardless of what they're encountering. And these are things that kind of convey into the rest of their life as well. I mean, not just in this kind of circumstance, but there's some benefits outside of that as well.
Absolutely. I know that I've been a big fan. I think you are too, of Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman's work with Combat, the Bulletproof Mind seminar series. I've been through all
stuff.
Of those. Yeah, this is I'm not surprised that you're incorporating this into the training, knowing you. And it's just really good to hear it. I mean, it's just mandatory. You've got to take those.
It is.
That consideration has to be woven into your training, really, for you to be effective. And
especially in a situation like that, where you're saying, I mean, you got so much chaos going on. You know, a bunch of people with guns in a situation like that, you know, potentially could make things worse, right? If they don't have the ability to sort through and make good decisions, right?
Right. It all comes down to training. I mean, you just cannot substitute good training.
No, you can't.
Okay, so.
And unfortunately, I just don't know, a lot of people know that, and that's where the word that we're trying to get out, whether it's with us or with somebody else, it's really important to seek that, you know, legitimate, realistic type of training so that, God forbid, you ever find yourself in that situation, you don't end up doing the wrong thing, right? I mean, that would be, really hard to live with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, minimizing this is going to be huge. So minimizing the risk, risk management, as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Now how do they go about moving forward then and saying, you know, hey, I'm in the, and I don't know how far you travel or what, arrangements you have, but just to make contact with you to find out more about the courses that you offer and then how you can start working with some of these security teams in their churches to get this type of training. What's the next step?
Well, the simplest way, I mean, if somebody's local and they want to kind of get a taste for it, I mean, our website has the ability, you can book classes. If somebody wants something special, if they want to do team training, that's a personalized thing we do anyway. We're going to gear it to exactly what your needs are and you know, so the size of the team and, you know, a number of different parameters. So that would just be a phone call, you know, phone call or an email. And then we just continue the discussion from there and drive it where it needs to go. We are willing to travel. That's not a problem. We can travel pretty much anywhere. As far as the facilities go, I mean, if somebody is within a reasonable, you know, distance from where we are, there's some advantages to doing it where we are because we have the facility set up for this, but
right. We
can certainly adapt and go anywhere that people want us to go.
Absolutely. Okay. And that website to go to is principaldefense.com. And there's a dash. It's principal-defense.com. And that's principle, principal as in standing on your principles. So that's principal-defense.com. And I know that you've got course curriculum laid out for the different courses that you're offering. And there's also a schedule there. Are these regularly scheduled trainings that take place? Well, like I said, on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm looking forward to jumping in on some of this training. I'm excited about it. And, I'll get with you, but, this is good stuff.
Sounds good.
And then all your contact information is right there on the website. And my, I'm trying to reload and it's just now my internet, froze up. So it's just spinning out on me. Of course. Perfect timing, right?
Of course.
So
there you go, Murphy.
Absolutely. Always shows up. You got to deal with how to smack down Murphy, man. That's not
right.
Real training if you don't have Murphy involved.
That's right.
All right, man. Hey, thank you so much. It was really good to have you with us. So God bless and stay safe. And just thanks for all that you're doing to help prepare the warriors out there.
Well, thanks a lot. It's been great being on your show and appreciate it. Look forward to the future.
All right, that's a wrap. And that was Thomas Craffey from Principal Defense. Go to principal-defense.com for more information on that. Thank you guys for being with us this week. You have a blessed week. You stay safe. And thank you for your prayers and your support. As always, we are very, very grateful. Okay, Godspeed. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.